people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get a conversation started with friends, family, the person you meet on the street. Or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So we've all heard about philanthropy and philanthropists, those people that take ungodly sums of money and throw it at situations or places or things out there to fix whatever the problem is and make a name for themselves. It seems honorable enough, seems like a good idea. Helping out the community, helping out with the common good. I mean, have we even thought about philanthropy in our own time? Maybe, maybe not. I'm sure we've come across the idea of being charitable. Volunteer work, which, according to all the little bit of research that I did, it was volunteering is and charity is on par, but philanthropy is just like the next step above it, where you actually have a little bit more than just time to contribute. You have a certain set of skills of organizational ability, or you know enough people that you can bring together to create basically a mini board to just kind of funnel ideas and topics and working points. Or maybe you know the guys with the cranes or the bulldozers or whatever fancy equipment, the trucks to transport the food to and from the food bank. At least, you know, that's down here on peasant level. No, when we talk about philanthropy, it's more those with the millions and billions of dollars to donate under a charitable tax write-off cause to gather people and things and fix a little bit more than something than the local homeless problem, not to be derogatory in any sense. But those people that, again, come together to fix that issue, to really get at the root of the problem. Maybe it's not just one city of homeless. It becomes a countywide scenario. Those with the enough know-how and resources to gather the correct kind of people together to, you know, really kind of attack at the heart of the problem. And there's two different kinds of goal setting for these million-dollar philanthropists. You have the more or less old style of philanthropy where you've made so much money that you can't spend it all in your lifetime, and by the time you're 98 years old, you realize that you still have $38 quadrillion left in the bank account, and your ungrateful kids aren't going to spend it wisely, and your kids will actually get a tax write-off if you donate it to a charitable organization. So why not start your own? And maybe it's not so greed-oriented. Maybe it is actually meant for the betterment of humanity. You've worked hard to collect all this wealth, all this value of storage, value stored in the form of money. And so you want to give it back. You actually want to be charitable. But because you have so much money, you now become a philanthropist and you create this organization. This one looks at how schools are put together. This one, again, looks at the housing situation. This one, all sorts of other places all throughout to be able to fix things. And then there's the new way of being a philanthropist. When you realize that you're not going to take your time and being able to spend your money throughout the rest of your life, like us lowly people down here living paycheck to paycheck, you realize that as a philanthropist, you can make a bigger difference today in hopes for a better improvement for tomorrow. And so you make more bold decisions in the way that your money is spent and how your impact should be perceived and accepted. Now, one of the reasons we see a switch more commonly to today of the spend the money now as we see fit situation is from some of the problems from the older style charitable foundations. It always seems to be the problem with big conglomerates like that is when the leader goes, it becomes a little bit wary and shaky on the founding ideals and principles. When the person passes on, if there weren't enough supporting documents or chiseled in stone feelings of how the foundation should go, even within less than a generation, the wheels can come off that wagon and it starts tumbling on its own. So to combat that, again, we come back to people wanting to be in control of the money spent, the foundation, to make sure that the goals and aspirations of the original founders are held true. They still have to get the official yes or no. They help guide that guiding light so that way money is less misappropriated in the wrong ways. But I wonder, when you're all the way at the top, when you are head honcho, I guess this happens for anybody, but again, with such large sums of money and out there to fix the world's problems, how much confirmation bias kicks in? How many times when control was vanquished and you had people say, other people sitting at the head of your foundation who then changed the guiding principles? Was that under greed or was that under a good business decision? How much, when you're sitting at the top, when you're in control, how much is your vision clouded by confirmation bias? Or yes men, people beneath you who have such a belief in the goal that they're not willing to look at contradicting data, data that says that you might be going in the wrong direction. No, obviously there's going to be big screw-ups and things like that where it's like, oh, well, we did screw up. But what about within the overall goal of certain things, certain large things? The thing that comes to mind is Common Core. Bill Gates made that, brought that forward, gave it to the global community, or at least here in America, in an attempt to fix math scores and whatnot. And that went on for quite the period of time, and in some places it still exists. I remember having a conversation with a math teacher 2 or 3 years after Common Core had begun, and he was sick of it, and he was retiring. He couldn't handle it. Now, maybe when Common Core was originally concepted, it was a great idea. It was a good idea to try something new in an attempt to bring something to the foreground. You have the money available. You have the means to gather the knowledgeable people to build that board. And you want to do good for America. You want to be able to bring up the math scores. But through all of this, you fail to realize that not every kid is built the same way to learn everything a very specific way. And maybe there's a chance to unlock new ideas through the process, but kind of throws everything on its heels when even the teachers have to learn something new now, starting from the ground up. And it creates a chaotic rumbling, but you have your people telling you, yes, this is the new way to do things. This is how we should do it. You just got to keep pushing and pushing through, even though the people that you're trying to help don't want it to a certain extent. And again, that's not to say maybe it was the correct way to do things in a large roundabout way. I've never sat down to educate myself on Common Core. I got a whiff of it and I said, no, thank you. And I've forgotten anything about it since. I missed that boat, thankfully. But I'm sure there's plenty of other examples where individuals take it upon themselves again to know better because they're more successful than all of us. But success doesn't always equal more intelligent or more educated on the one topic. There's a lot of us that do our individual research and we come up with some crazy ideas, some crazy thoughts. There's a lot of people that these philanthropists employ and hire who think the same way that they do. But do they find people in the similar fields of expertise as the people they hire, but on the opposite side of the spectrum, to offer a counter-narrative or counterbalance? Not to say, no, this can't be done, but you need to look at the other half of the equation. A simple example would be climate change. There's a lot of philanthropists in climate change. I'll be digging into that again soon. We've got a lot of people thinking about the health sector, investing and gathering and working together. I don't see so much philanthropy on the homeless housing market. I see a lot of government programs, which is not philanthropy. I see a lot of good-hearted people out there with some guidance, a lot of guidance, a little guidance in our attempt to get things pointed in the right direction. And we can be thankful for those who have ungodly amounts of wealth to help us, help guide us, this population of people, to the correct spot. So that way we can all end up in something a little bit better, maybe through the building of libraries, donations to scholarships of the sort. Or maybe the foundations are just run amok with greedy corporate individuals that have found a way to promote a message while turning around and making investments in other things that are able to expand their pocketbooks and balance out the cost risk reward ratio. There's a good list of philanthropists within the show notes. One place you can check out is the Tony Robbins website. That has a good little bit. But yeah, check out the show notes for this episode. Did a little bit of research, a little bit of looking into it, making sure I had some idea of what I was talking about. So that way you can be more informed when you go out and you start your own conversation. Dig in just a little bit more. And if people ask you where you got all this crazy information, all these fun little talking points, let them know that Billy Bones sent you. B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, Gab, at Billy Bones. Spelt the same way. You find me on Mastodon, on the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. Or you can even go so far as to check out the website, billybones.com. Go there, you find links to the past episodes, which also have the show notes available to them, so you can go on further read. There's long-form communication available through email and Discord. Those are on the contact page. You can find a link to the SoundCloud page with all the music. You can even find a donation page, a value for value. That's what this podcast is. I put it out for free in hopes that you find some sort of value in it. And then that way, you can put some value that you find into it back, either through sharing this podcast or just the talking points. Or, again, you go to billybones.com, you scroll all the way down, click that value for value button, it'll take you to PayPal, and you can chip in whatever you feel it's worth. But I love you guys. We'll talk to you next week. We'll be right back.